I want to take a second to remind you to sign up for the Poso Daily Brief. It is completely free. It'll be one email that's sent to you every day. You can stop the endless scrolling, trying to find out what's going on in your world. We will have this delivered directly to you, totally for free. Go to humanevents.com/Poso. Sign up today. It's called the Poso Daily Brief. Read what I read for show prep. You will not regret it. Humanevents.com/Poso. Totally free. The Poso Daily Brief.
We are in a fifth generational conflict.
A commentator, international social media sensation, and former Navy intelligence veteran.
This is Human Events with your host, Jack Posobiec.
Deliver us from evil.
There's something dangerous happening in America now. There's an extremist movement that does not share the basic beliefs in our democracy. The MAGA movement.
Polls show that Joe Biden is really underwater when it comes to approval on the economy, approval on immigration and the border, when it comes to approval in almost every realm.
Elon Musk took a trip to the country's southern border today. The billionaire arrived by police escort. He says he supports a border wall.
Members of Congress frustrated they've yet to reach a deal to keep the government open, leaving federal employees, members of the military, and frontline service workers across America wondering when they leave work today if they will return on Monday.
California Senator Dianne Feinstein has died. The age of 90, she was the oldest serving U.S. senator and member of Congress.
But we start talking about things that look like evidence. They want to act like they blind. They don't know what this is. These are our national secrets. Looks like in the to me. This looks like more evidence of our national secrets, say on a stage at Mar-a-Lago. I could go on because he's got 91 counts pending right now, but I will tell you what the president has been guilty of. He has unfortunately been guilty of loving his child unconditionally, and that is the only evidence that they have brought forward.
Gas prices continue to climb in California.
It's such a hot button issue that Governor Gavin Newsom spoke about it last night.
When you add the gas tax, you add cap and trade, and you add the low carbon fuel standards, and then periodically add, and I'm being as transparent as I can be, and you add our unique blend, you get a differential around 85 cents.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard today's edition of Human Events Daily with Jack Posobiec, live from Washington, D.C. Today is September 29th, 2023, Anno Domini, the Feast of the Archangels. And the Archangels are doing work today, folks. The Archangels are out there doing work. Because you see, we're going through an energy shift right now. The regime has finally learned that their attacks on Trump are done. They've all failed. Club for Growth just leaked an internal memo saying that they tried 40 separate attack ads on Donald Trump, tested them with audiences in the early states, including Iowa. Guess what? None of them produced a meaningful effect. And in fact, some of them backlashed so much that it actually increased Trump's support. Now, of course, from what I hear, this is because Club for Growth is eventually planning to get behind Trump. I'll believe it when I see it, though. You see, here's what's really going on, is they've realized that Trump is going to win the primary. The primary is all but over at this point. But there are still moneyed interests, moneyed powers that want to stop the only man that ever actually stood in the way of the status quo of this country. There's only ever been one guy. And if you're listening to any of those other shows or any of those other people that tell you, oh no, this guy's got a chance, or this guy's, no, Trump is going to, here's why, and this is going to happen, just stop. All right? Just stop. The charade is over. Okay, it's done. It was never in the cards. It was never political reality. And if you thought for a minute, if you thought for a minute that Trump was going to lose this primary, then it's time to actually step back and question your understanding of the situation and the realities which we live in right now. This is not the 1980s. This is not the 1990s, okay? This is the 2020s. 20s. And so if you've got your political analysis hat on, or if you've never worked in campaign politics before, if you've never run an election, if you have no clue what you're doing, then maybe, just maybe, step back for a second and listen to the people who were right when it mattered, and just understand that maybe your priors and your biases were wrong to begin with, and in fact, always have, and that's okay. It's okay to be wrong. It's okay to be wrong. It's okay to be humiliated. It's okay to be embarrassed. But it's simple. At this point, acknowledge what's happened, step back, and shut your mouth and know your role. It's really quite simple. It's so simple. And I just ask all of you out there who got this so completely wrong to understand that, accept it, and begin to embrace the fact that Donald Trump is going to win this primary and not a single other one of these candidates ever stood a chance. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the best ways that you can support us here at Human Events and the work that we do is subscribing to us on our Rumble channel. Make sure you're subscribed, you hit the notifications so you'll never miss a clip, you'll never miss a new live episode, and we're putting them out every single day of the week.
In the hood, I rolled with bloods, and them boys had a saying. You can't be listening to all that slappy whack, trim out his outlets, a bam ship, nippy bam bam, like Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
All right, Jack Posobiec back here, Human Events Daily, live from Washington, D.C. And I'd love to play a clip right now. SOT 2, guys, a great interview that I saw with Donald Trump earlier this week. SOT 2.
Who do you think in your life you maybe miss the most, living or dead, but people who you don't get to talk to every day anymore? Who do you miss the most?
Well, I had two really good brothers, right? And both passed away. One had a problem with alcohol. It taught me so much because he said, don't drink. And, you know, drugs were not a big factor, but alcohol was. Yeah. But it had a big impact on me. My other brother, Robert, I was very close to, passed away 2 years ago. Mm. A wonderful guy. He was so proud of me. He was so proud of the fact that I became president. And he was great. He was a great supporter of mine. He thought it was so incredible. I couldn't believe it. And I miss my father. You learn from people. My father was a great guy. He was very strong, very tough, but he had a tremendous heart. Mm. A tremendous heart. He was very generous in so many ways. He loved what he did. He was a builder in Brooklyn. And he loved work. And it taught me... you have to love what you do to be good at it. He was good at it. And I just see that successful people are always loving what they do.
Just an incredible interview, a sit down with Donald Trump. And I'd like to say to everybody for right now, and you can see him shifting gears in that clip in the same way that we're shifting gears in the election right now. Welcome to the churn. I'd like to bring on now the interviewer from that clip, the editor-in-chief of the National Pulse, Mr. Raheem Kassam. Raheem, what was it like sitting down with President Trump at this point in the race and then really getting him to open up and show that human side of himself?
Thanks for having me, Jack. You know, it's weird. Every time I see different clips from that interview now online, even myself, I was obviously sitting there in front of him, notice different things and different intonations, different stresses that President Trump was making there. Every time you watch it, you'll kind of see something different. And I think it's, you know, perhaps down to the fact that, you know, we don't try and be cute about this. The National Pulse endorsed Donald Trump quite early on in this primary. So I think it's because he felt like secure, like he wasn't there to be debated. Like Meet the Press does, like all of them do, quite frankly, that he felt like he could open up a little bit more. I mean, when have you ever heard him say, I miss my dad, I miss my father, like he did just there? And I think those moments are incredibly powerful. Obviously, they're incredibly humanizing. And they show a side of Donald Trump, just as it's very important to show the extremely powerful and aggressive side of him. Like I showed my audience on Instagram today, we just put up a video of him, remember, negotiating with Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi in the Oval Office about the border security and the shutdown all those years ago. It's just as important to show this side of him, the thoughtful, the man who's full of heart. And I have to tell you, you asked me how, what it was like. It was surreal, but it was extremely relaxed. And it was extremely relaxed because Donald Trump goes out of his way. You've been around him plenty of times. He goes out of his way to be a good host, to make you feel comfortable, to make you feel at home. And I think I speak for myself and the entire production team that we took down there. You know, I've never felt so welcome, when conducting an interview like that before. It's quite extraordinary.
Now, from the sense that you had when you were with him, obviously you were around sort of the campaign, the staff that's there on a day-to-day basis, his entourage, as it were, even though it's a lot smaller than it used to be in earlier years, or certainly when he was in the White House. Taking that, so you go through that experience, then you see the debate, which is counter-programmed by Trump in Michigan with the auto workers. This has been my contention. I feel like he's now shifting into general election mode. Clearly, there were certain times when you guys got into some of these hot button issues that he was talking about it from a general election perspective, particularly on social issues. But I think at the same time, though, that the whole spectrum of what we're looking at in the political world right now is shifting into this new reality where it's quite clear that Donald Trump is going to be the nominee.
Look, I heard your opening monologue, and I think there are plenty of people who should shoulder plenty of blame for this. I wrote a piece of analysis the other day, and it was just called "Well, that was embarrassing." And I urge people to go to the nationalpulse.com and look down the left-hand sidebar and read that, because the debate the other night really, really underscores, I think, a point that many of us are going to have trouble accepting, and that is that without Donald Trump, the Republican Party is a joke, and without Donald Trump, one day, the Republican Party currently doesn't have that deep a bench. There are some
I had the same thought.
Who you look at and say, right,
the same thought, man.
Yeah, yeah, it's really tragic, and. It's tragic because some of them perhaps did have promise at some point, right? You obviously think of Governor Ron DeSantis, but allowing himself to become, the avatar of an angry Jeff Rowe, the avatar of an angry Christina Pushaw, has really, really undermined and humiliated him on a national and international stage. Remember, he tried going to London for a series of meetings one time, and they kind of laughed him out of the room.
Japan. He was in Japan. You're burnishing his Asia credentials and all of this. I think at this point, this entire exercise has not only completely destroyed his political capital as it stands now. He's lost his current political capital. He's certainly lost his front runner status for 2028. And going forward, I think there's a real danger here of him going into Scott Walker territory, where it's going to be hard to see which political office he could ever win again.
Do you know, I was watching, I'm a bit weird like this, right? I go back and watch old clips of lots of political things almost every day, just to kind of get an idea of trajectory, really. And I was watching some old clips of him defending Donald Trump from a couple of years ago. And I thought, man, if Ron dropped out right now, and repented almost, to the base at least. And well, what I think he could do is become the press secretary in the next White House, is what I was going to say. I mean, I think that's probably, you know, this station at which he ends up now. Like you say, he's got a lot of problems in Florida now, a lot of power problems in Florida now. So I'm not sure where he goes, and I'm not sure there was anybody else on that stage that's ready for the big time either. So, you know, like you say, he's shifting. He's definitely shifting. Every answer is through the lens of a general election. But he's also not convinced that Joe Biden is going to be the nominee. He does say to me in that interview that he thinks perhaps Gavin Newsom is going to be the Democrat candidate.
Which, if I remember correctly, that's one of the first times that he's actually said that, because prior to that, and I noted the shift, in almost every interview when this comes up, he has said that he thinks it's going to be Biden. He was continuing to say that he thought it would be Biden right up until your interview with him. And I think it's not even necessarily Trump himself coming out and saying that. I think it's everybody sort of saying it at this point, right? He's just one of the rest, where we can tell that the deterioration of Joe Biden has gotten to such a point. Then, and the polls being where they are, the Washington Post coming out, the New York Times coming out, we can all see that it seems as though the Democrats are walking to their own political ruin if they leave this guy on the ticket.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. We broke quite a bit of news in that interview, but the only thing that seems to have gotten write-ups by the corporate press is when the president told me that he watches Fox News, and I went, "Really? You still watch it?" And then they've got these headlines that say, "Raheem Kassam stunned into silence by Trump's claim that he watched Fox News," or whatever. But there's actually a lot of news in that interview, and I think the Gavin Newsom thing is an interesting part of it, because of course it's one thing for us to look at that situation and go, oh, you know, I wonder what the Democrats are going to do. You have to understand that people around Donald Trump, and of course Donald Trump himself, have all sorts of other sources and mechanisms by which to know what's going on behind the scenes, yes, even on the Democrat side. So that was very significant, I think.
No, I think so as well. And for people out there that don't want to understand, when Trump says he's watching, he watches everything. The guy actually watches everything. He has it curated for him. He goes to specific shows. He looks for certain people that are being interviewed. His media consumption is something where, and I'm so glad you asked the question, because this is something that's been completely underreported. People will laugh and they'll say, "Oh, Trump, doesn't read." The sheer amount and volume of information that he consumes on a regular basis, I think, would actually shock most people. And you can see this, by the way, when he'll go up there at one of these rallies and be able to rattle off stats and facts and figures and names without any notes, without any transcript. He's done this recently. He did this in Iowa very recently. I think he was actually reading at the Michigan rally. But whenever he does this, and people say, "Oh, where is he getting all this information? How does he know?" Because he's constantly reading, and you can see it when he's out on the plane, etc. We're coming up on a quick break here, but when we come back, I want to ask you more about this. This question of Gavin Newsom, smoother than Satan. This guy coming up using Ron DeSantis and a debate that DeSantis has remarkably agreed to. Newsom now using this as a potential springboard into what I call the Democrat shadow primary. And really, I would say he's clearly in the lead of the shadow primary. Our interview with Raheem Kassam continues after the break.
You know, they talk about influencers. These are influencers. And they're friends of mine. Jack Posobiec. Where's Jack? Jack? He's done a great job.
All right, Jack Posobiec back here live, Human Events Daily. Do you ever get the feeling that the unthinkable is going to happen soon? I do. But between the distractions, the smoke screens, and the media, we probably won't see it coming. That's why it's smart to invest in emergency food right away. And they say it's better to have it and not need it than to need it and not have it. Today's Human Events sponsor, My Patriot Supply, is the nation's leader in high-quality emergency food. Head over to MyPatriotSupply.com right now and prepare today with emergency food that will stay fresh for up to 25 years. Enjoy a wide variety of delicious food kits offering over 2,000 calories every day for optimum strength under stress. And don't forget about water filtration and purification products. These are perfect for your bug-out bag, survival supply, or camping pack. One thing is for sure in this world, we all need to stock up before panic sets in. Order by 3 p.m. today and your items ship the same day. It's that fast. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare for what's coming, and it's going to get worse. MyPatriotSupply.com. All right, guys, before we go back to Raheem, I want to play this clip of Gavin Newsom discussing this upcoming debate. It's SOT 3. Let's play SOT 3.
Why is he doing it is the right question. He's running, I think, I'm not sure after tonight, but currently he's running for president of the United States. The fact that he took this debate, the fact that he took the bait in relation to this debate, shows that he's completely unqualified to be president of the United States. That's my humble first.
Why is that? You're baiting him with the debate offer?
Of course. I mean, why is he debating a guy who's not even running for president when he's running for president? He's showing up at the Reagan Library, hallowed ground, and he puts out an ad today, not for his presidential campaign, to promote a debate against the governor of California. I mean, this guy's distracted. So I don't know that he has it in his heart. I think, here's my personal opinion about Ron DeSantis. He regrets running for president. He made a huge mistake. He listened to his consultants. He bought his own hype. He had this little God complex. I mean, look at the ads themselves. Literally, God created. I mean, he bought into all this stuff.
So, Raheem, what are we to make of the Newsom-DeSantis debate? Do you disagree with anything that he said right there? And what is, and I think we have the title card up of the debate here. There it is. It's I don't know why you're laughing. I mean, it's just a simple title card for an upcoming debate between a couple of governors. And do you think that this actually is a serious debate? Or do you think, as I've said before, that this is an example of Gavin Newsom running the Democrat shadow primary? By the way, I've been talking about this all week. Then he is given the chance yet again, because of the death of Senator Feinstein, that he is given another chance to be in the spotlight and become a power broker. I just seemed to me he's using all of these things to his advantage.
I can't do it. That was too good.
I don't understand what's so funny.
The audio audience for this show really needs to go back and watch what was just on screen there. Quality stuff. The answer to your question is it's very difficult. I never thought I'd find myself in this situation, but it's very difficult to disagree with anything that Gavin Newsom just said, because remember, Gavin Newsom is the guy who baited him, going on television now saying, I baited him, and he took the bait. So the interesting thing about the Ron campaign is yes, obviously there's an element of him buying into his own hype, but really what we're talking about here, and really what people around DeSantis should be talking about here, is how much he fell for the shtick, the consultant shtick, the Jeff Rowe shtick, the Adam Laxalt shtick, the hey buddy, like, we can definitely do this, you know, it's just going to cost you several hundred millions of dollars. And by the way, those dollars are going into, you know, the pockets of the DC consultant class. But who's out there flying around the country having to raise that money? Oh, it's Ron DeSantis. It's Ron DeSantis, who's now effectively just a salesman, you know, division manager for Axiom Strategies. And I think that's humiliating. But on a more serious note, it's actually really insulting to the Florida voters, who many of whom reach out to me on a day-to-day basis at the moment and say, thank you for saying that, because we elected this guy, we re-elected this guy, assuming we were going to get him governing, and he's just off fundraising for Jeff Rowe's, you know, gold necklaces. This is something that I think
Newsom is going
to blow him out of the water about.
Real quick, before you go to Newsom, when he was asked, when Governor DeSantis was asked this question about the skyrocketing rates of insurance in Florida, yeah, which is something that I hear constantly from Floridians, even people who are DeSantis supporters, he had no answer. He said, we have a robust state, people are moving in, and things. It's. Did you not think that you would be questioned on your record? Did you not think that there would be? And that to me speaks to, by the way, the same thing. And I would hit all the candidates as no answer whatsoever on Obamacare. It's like they didn't even remember that was something that existed. I mean, imagine how our COVID response would be if John McCain wasn't responsible for saving Obamacare way back when. But the idea that just the complete lack of preparation on very basic questions, it was shocking. To me, it was actually shocking.
Well, I mean, Ron DeSantis has been used to getting an easy ride from his pals at Fox News for the last goodness knows however. And so when he was asked, it wasn't even a tough question, right? Like, everybody knows there's this insurance problem in Florida. There are many reasons for it, by the way. He could have just spoken to the specificity of the problem at hand and said, listen, we understand what these guys have done, what these insurance companies have done, and we're trying to unpick that bit by bit. Instead, he goes, well, we believe in Florida that, when to earn your crust, you have to have a job, you have to work. What does that have anything to do with the insurance debacle that's taking place in your state at the moment? So he was kind of caught off guard with the fact that he was asked even a remotely challenging question, which is why, when you look at this debate that he will be prepping for probably every day now against Gavin Newsom, it really worries me. It worries me as a conservative, because I would not choose to put that person up on a national stage as somebody who should be defending conservative philosophy. Certainly shouldn't be held up as an America First candidate at this point in time, given the chunks he's attempted to try and take out of Donald Trump during this campaign. So what is it designed to do? Well, that debate is designed to do one thing, and you nailed it in the last segment, and that is give Gavin Newsom a leg up into the presidency, into the Oval Office. And Ron DeSantis, once again, is a useful idiot.
Well, and you can see that Newsom is, he's shadow boxing Sean Hannity, just clowning on him to get ready for this. Hannity, who is currently, I believe, last time I checked, the top-rated host on Fox News, and Gavin Newsom is running rings around him. You noticed the other night when he had him on that, and by the way, when you have a guy who's as good of a liar as Gavin Newsom is, who lies so effortlessly because he is an amoral actor, he does not have any ideology, he has no morality, the man has no conscience whatsoever, this is Gavin Newsom, is Patrick Bateman with hair gel, that he will lie about anything. And so, and he comes up with this quote about, we have higher energy production, higher oil production now than we've ever had in American history. And he says, Hannity, we've got higher production. What are you going to do? Fact check it, PolitiFact, you could do this, is going to be really funny. Never once does Hannity say, well, are you talking gross or net? Are you talking gross or net, Gavin? Because obviously he's not talking about net production versus consumption, because if you actually compared it to something, using a little something that we call economics or math or any basic understanding of these things, you would know how to respond. By the way, that's a freebie, Gavin. That's a freebie for Ron DeSantis. Please, when you go into this, if you're not completely in vapor lock when this subject comes up, just ask him the basic question of net versus gross. It's like when you talk crime rates, you have to understand how to talk per capita. You have to understand how to talk city versus, again, these are basic things that you would learn if you were actually involved in these on a regular basis. But if you make a mistake, a guy like Gavin Newsom is going to eat your lunch, and he's just, I'm sorry, but he's just beating up on Hannity like he's the opening act of this thing. And I think he's going to eat, he's eating Hannity's lunch day in, day out. And unfortunately, if Governor DeSantis doesn't prepare, the same thing is going to happen to him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, people like Newsom, they don't typically deal in specifics, right? They deal in kind of broad brushstrokes, and just and his role will be just to kind of destabilize and then point and laugh when the other guy doesn't have a sure footing.
Yep.
And that's what he did to Sean Hannity the other day. You know, Sean literally could have just said, as any real interviewer would do in that scenario, Sean Hannity could literally just have said, instead of debating him, could have gone, well, why don't you explain to us then why most people don't feel that's the case? And why don't you explain to us then? Gavin Newsom's in a situation where he actually has to explain the difference, you know, between net and gross.
That's a great example, that's right.
But these people have coasted for so very long. Like Gavin said about Ron, they're high off their own supply in so many of these cases. And it comes out and bites them in the when they are actually put in front of a stage and asked, to go back to that insurance thing, just a tiny, tiny little awkward question. There is rigor. There is discipline. There is being across your brief. And I got to tell you, it didn't look like any of the GOP candidates up on that stage really embodied that. And I challenge people to go and watch the interview between myself and Donald Trump. And you tell me that Trump doesn't deal in the hyper-specific. He absolutely does. And by the way, you want to know why he's such a great populist and why the media hate him at the same time? Because he is the clearinghouse of their BS, right? He reads it all. He processes it all. And he, in real time, filters out the wheat from the chaff. And so, you know, you can say that, you know, Trump is a media creation in the sense that he's taking all the information that they are providing to the American public for so very long. And he's deciding, you know, which parts of these look real. Well, you know, the net and the gross, right? Like, all of that. And it's fascinating to watch.
We have a break coming up. Can we hold you over, Raheem?
Yeah.
All right, holding Raheem over. He is handicapping for us the state of the race, the debate, the interviews, Trump, Newsom, all of it. Stay tuned. Be right back.
In my ear about the boring people at your office. I'm trying to listen to the new human events with Jack Posobiec.
All right, folks, any day now, Big Pharma and Biden are going to be pulling the trigger on another drug that just it doesn't deliver. Meanwhile, there's a ton of health supplements out there that, frankly, they underperform. So I'm excited to tell you guys about Strong Cell. Strong Cell is a daily liquid supplement that combines the power of NADH, CoQ10, and collagen. Now, why is that important? Studies show that NADH has been known to improve mental clarity, alertness, concentration, and memory. And because of its role in energy production, NADH is also used for improving energy production and treating chronic fatigue. That's not all. NADH has been used to slow our overall aging process, reduce cravings, and boost your immunity. It works. Just ask Joe Rogan. I use Strong Cell. Tanya Tay is constantly taking my Strong Cell. And I wanted you to discover the benefits as well today. Being that Strong Cell works in your body at the cellular level, we really recommend you try a one-month option so you have time to feel the difference. What do? You go to strongcell.com/poso, get 20% off today with promo code POSO. That's strongcell.com/poso. Give your cells the energy to keep you strong, mentally sharp, and healthy. Visit strongcell.com/poso, strongcell.com/poso. And by the way, if you're like me, go ahead and order a box to your office so that your wife doesn't know about it and that you can have it there so she won't be able to get her mitts on it. I want to go back now to Raheem Kassam. Raheem, you sat down with the man in the arena, and you asked him as well about that sense. We're working on trying to get the clip, but you asked him about his sense of, you know, does he have that sort of self-awareness of, I am the man who is at the center of so much focus, at the center of so much history. And I think you asked Trump about Trump in a way that nobody else has before. What was your sense of how he approached that question? And do you think that he steps back and thinks about his grander role in the scheme of things?
Couple of times and or half a dozen times or something like that over the last couple of years, but you don't really get to go like, oh, hi, good to see you. Hey, by the way, you ever think about this? So this was my opportunity, and I thought it was an opportunity for us to really show the world a different side of him. And I also asked him the question, by the way, why does he allow for the left to write his legacy? And he told me, that he did intend, in fact, to write an autobiography, but he said once we've finished the job, right? So he's talking still in some years to do all of that. And the reason I think that's so important was I know you were doing an ad read a second ago, but it really hit home for me because I take a lot of NAD. I've been in five cities over the last 7 or 8 days once that interview was complete. Ran the tunnel to Towers 5K last Sunday. How do you keep the energy levels up? All of that kind of thing, and the mental clarity.
Oh wait, Raheem, wait. So I didn't realize Tanya Tay's watching. She's blowing me up. She goes, "What do you mean a box just for the office?" Can we cut that out? Can we fix that in post? Producer Angelo, fix that on the master.
No, I knew you. I could see that you thought you might have got yourself into some trouble there. So,
yeah. The messages are flying in.
Yeah. Well, not to distract from the very important Tanya Tay, but just to answer your question very quickly on the, behind the politician, behind the businessman, almost. I don't expect everybody to live as frantic a lifestyle as I do, but I've also read so much of Donald Trump lore, right? The Art of the Deal, all the other books, watched so many of the documentaries, really tried to understand this man. You made an American Psycho reference earlier. There's even a bunch of American Psycho references. I was on with Kimberly Guilfoyle yesterday. I made a Fresh Prince of Bel-Air reference from when Donald Trump was in an episode of that. There's so much, right? Americana is Donald Trump.
Well,
Donald
actually,
Trump is America.
People, speaking of American Psycho, so there's a quick Trump reference in the movie, but actually in the book of American Psycho,
yeah,
Trump is all over it. All over it.
Yeah.
However, Bret Easton Ellis also said that he thought that Patrick Bateman would not support Trump today. Why? Because he thinks that Patrick Bateman would view Trump as a class traitor.
I'll have to think about that one a little bit.
And he said this was a 2016 interview, and he said that Bateman would have supported Hillary in that interview, or in that election.
I think Bateman would have probably gone around saying he supported Hillary, but I think once he actually got into the polling booth, he would have probably marked his ex somewhere else, and also in blood. I'm not sure the audience should take this as a recommendation to read the book American Psycho if they haven't already, because it is extremely, extremely graphic. But you're right. Donald Trump occurs through all of these sort of big American moments, cultural moments, sporting occasions, cuisine, all of it. He's everywhere. And so I finally got to ask him, hey, do you understand that you are the most famous man in the world? And what does that mean to you? And you can tell that it sometimes occurs to him. I think it definitely occurs to him when he's around his buddies and they're kind of ribbing him about that kind of thing too. But it doesn't, if I were to tell you the biggest thing that I took away from that interview is that Donald Trump wakes up every morning with singular purpose. And that is to see his country restored to greatness. That is genuinely what I think just fuels him every single moment of every single day. Whether he's on the golf course, whether he's at the desk, where he's DJing on the terrace at Mar-a-Lago, I think all of it revolves around this idea, right? How can we make America the greatest place on planet Earth once again?
Well, I think that's right, and I've even heard stories about how just his personal style, the fact that he wakes up every day, shines his own shoes, does his own hair. That's right, the famous hair. He actually does the hair. Will not let anyone else do that. That's all him. And you see these personal touches. There was something you mentioned as well, that you said that you found him to be kind. Why did you say that you found him kind?
Yeah, again, you walk into these situations and we had been setting up for several hours and time is ticking by and we're just sort of told to wait, he'll be around at a certain point in the day, so we're waiting and then there's no fanfare, right? There's no, like the door bursts open and Donald Trump's standing there and he bullies his way into the room and demands this and that and the other. No, that, you know, the door like just sort of crept open and he popped his head around and he went, "Hi, Raheem." And you know, there's sort of like shuffled into the room, make sure that he greeted everybody, make sure that everybody felt at ease around him. He said, "Oh, you know, do you mind if I see this? Do you mind if I do that?" Like all of these sorts of things. You know, it's his house. It's Mar-a-Lago. And he's asking
for the lighting. He's a stickler for lighting.
Well, he didn't change a thing about ours, which is a great credit, I think, to the team that put all of that together. We're really happy with the quality and everything in the interview there. So big shout out to them. But he was so interested in how other people were doing. He said, "How's the national pulse going? You know, is there anything I can do to help? You know, I read everything that you guys send me and all of this." But he's not saying it like with his chest puffed out, slapping you on the back. He's genuinely interested. He felt it, you know, it felt like a grandfather asking you, like, "How are your studies going?" You know, and genuinely taking care after that. And it, by the way, I don't just think he's doing it because, you know, with the national pulse and we write nice things about him because, you know, we are a right-leaning news outlet. I've seen him do it with even the people who say the nastiest things about him. He'll always sort of put his arm around them and say, "Yeah, okay, I get it, but like, do you want anything to drink? Like, are you thirsty? Do you need to sit down? Is it too hot in here?" You know, he's a genuinely kind person, and that I think it's a great
actually
shame that the media doesn't reflect.
He actually
more.
He talks to people. He doesn't talk down to them. He doesn't
right.
act like he's above them. He's not flexing. He's trying to be a good host. And I remember this even from our dinner, and I've seen him out at other times. His table manners are just impeccable. I don't think I've ever had dinner anywhere in the world with anyone who had table manners like this. It's something, and you remember that he is a man of several generations ago when he came up, finishing school, et cetera, et cetera. Raheem, we're just about out of time. Where can people go to follow you, to watch the interview, to get all the analysis?
Thank you, Jack. I want to make sure that people get the National Pulse app. It's in the app stores. TheNationalPulse.com, you can find the interview. It's on Rumble, it's on X.com, and of course, follow The National Pulse on all the social media platforms too. Jack, thank you for having me.
Don't get too flooded up there in New York. You'll be practicing your backstroke. You'll be swimming the 5K after you ran the 5K last week.
I'm always listening to Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
All right, Jack Posobiec back live here, Human Events Daily. Folks, let me tell you something. I'm the kind of guy who likes knowing exactly where my food comes from. And with today's episode sponsor, Moink, that place is from the small family farms all across this country. You can help save those family farms, as well as getting access to the highest quality meat products on earth when you join the Moink movement today. Moink Box runs their business from a town of just 97 people in Newark, Missouri, and they're helping save our traditions, our values, and helping save rural America with every order. Moink delivers grass-fed and grass-finished beef and lamb and pastured pork and chicken and sustainable wild-caught Alaskan salmon straight to your door. You choose the meat delivered in every box, like ribeyes, chicken breasts, pork chops, salmon fillets, and the best bacon. When Tanya Tay makes the bacon out of the Moink Box, I'm like, just make all of it because I want to eat it right away. You can support American farmers by signing up with moinkbox.com/poso right now. And the Human Events audience, guess what? You will get free ground beef for a full year. That's 1 year of the best ground beef you'll ever taste, but for a limited time only. Spelled M-O-I-N-K, boink. box.com/poso. That's moinkbox.com/poso. Okay, I got Tanya Tay blowing me up in the break here. She says, "I'm watching. I'm making sure you don't sneak any boxes out of the house." And I said, "Sweetheart, what if I got boxes that you don't even know about? What if I got boxes and NADH and meat and tea that you don't even know about? You don't even know about, darling. Sorry about that. Oops. You just don't worry. Do you know what? Don't ask me about my business. Never ask me about my business." I want to do a little piece of business right here because we talked about this clip from Raheem Kassam's interview with President Trump. I'm going to play it for you right now, guys. Let's play clip 5.
And it's strange for me as well. I think it's strange for probably everybody that comes into contact with you.
You are the most famous man on planet Earth. I mean, I think the most recognizable man, the amount of column inches, you talk about this in the book as well, you know, the earned media behind everything,
earned
right?
Earned media, that's right. Good old earned media.
I'm just fascinated by that concept. Is that something you think about? Do you look in the mirror and see, you know, the most famous man in the world, or have you just always been the same guy?
So I was playing golf a month ago with a very successful guy, and he's not a bad golfer, and he was playing terribly. And I said, are you okay? What's wrong with you? You always play better than this. What's wrong? I was, you know, being a little bit nasty to him by saying that, because that's not very nice, but I'm saying you're playing terribly. What's wrong? He said, you don't understand. You're the most famous person in the world, and I'm very nervous. I said, yeah, but you've known me for 15, 20 years. Why are you doing? He said, no, you're the most famous person in the world. I said, no, I'm not. The most famous person in the world is Jesus Christ. He said, oh, I never thought of that. I thought it was sort of cool, actually. Yeah. I thought it was rather nice. But it was very funny. And I asked him that. But he said the same thing. I don't think about it. I don't want to think about it. You're possibly right.
Yeah.
Because I know the competition. But I just want to do something really great. Our country is in such trouble right now. Right now, I don't think we've ever been, we've never been in this danger. We're close to World War III.
Folks, we're entering a new phase. Welcome to the churn. You have to understand, pieces are being moved on and off the chessboard. Feinstein out. Milley out, Newsom coming in, Newsom about to make an appointment to a new senator. Says he's going to pick a black woman. We don't know yet. Welcome to the churn. This is potentially the most dangerous phase. The real question now, will other Republican candidates continue to attempt to sabotage Trump going forward? In this, we already saw Ron DeSantis' scumbag op when it came to the question of inflation, blaming Trump on inflation, because what that does is to sabotage not just Trump, but every Republican who then turns around to go and blame inflation where it belongs on President Biden. And so the real question is, what will the regime do next? The indictments didn't work. Running primary candidates didn't work. Running challenges didn't work. Go back to that Club for Growth ad. They said, we ran 40 ads, anti-Trump, attacking Trump, blasting him from a liberal perspective, blasting him from however we could. And at the end, it just made them support Trump even more. It made his popularity increase. Biden's the guy they have now. They could switch him out whenever they want. Newsom's clearly chomping at the bit to get in. Don't count out Hillary. She wants to get in as well. And Kamala Harris. We have to watch what happens with her. But you got to remember, folks, this is, as Raheem said, as President Trump said, the final stand for our country. Are we going to be a country that embraces freedom? Are we going to be a country that seeks to maximize freedom for every person in this country, man, woman, and child? Are we going to take those with exceptional ability and allow them to excel? We'll see. We'll see. Just something, that little bit of personal news that I'd love to throw out there. That I talk about this all the time, and we'll be talking about it tomorrow. But tomorrow is my anniversary. So as of tomorrow, I will be 18 years sober. It's possible. It's able. If you're interested in sobriety, you can always reach out. You can talk to me. I'm always open, and I want to let you know, and everybody out there know, that it is possible to live a sober life and be fully fulfilled, fully active, and capable of doing it. And you know what? You don't have to do it 18 years. You can start in the next 18 minutes if you want. But also, because today is the Feast of the Archangels, I just like to say. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who wander the world seeking the ruin of souls. In nomine Patri et Filio et Spiritu Sancti. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, you have my permission to assure you.